Our second scripture reading will be a continuation of the Road to Emmaus story. Listen for a word from God. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Risen Lord, as your word is preached, may we become aware of your presence among us and hear how you are speaking to each of us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Were not our hearts burning within us? You know, this feels kind of familiar. Jeremiah said, "Within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Most of the time, we think of fire as something dangerous, something harmful, something to be avoided. But in a forest, fire can be a beautiful thing. Things that prevent growth for plants, like dead or dying underbrush and dense foliage, are burnt away, returning valuable nutrients to the soil and allowing sunlight to reach the forest floor. Many plant species have adapted to protect themselves or even benefit from fire. So for all of these reasons, after a fire, the forest bounces back, healthier, stronger, and even more diverse than ever. In a forest, purification by fire is essential to growth. Now, we are not trees, despite some of us being named after them, and the kind of fire that helps forests is harmful to us. But we can benefit from a different kind of fire, a spiritual one. Jeremiah and our friends on the road to Emmaus experienced that kind of spiritual fire, and John the Baptist talked about it when proclaiming Jesus' arrival. John said, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This passage can be a scary one. Usually, it's interpreted as a warning to sinners. Repent, or you, like the chaff, will be burned in the unquenchable fires of hell. But I don't think that's what John meant. John was always crazy perceptive and knew exactly what God was up to. John wasn't saying, "Repent, sinners," although he is known for that. He was telling the crowd that God cares for us and wants to help us grow. He was saying, "Jesus is coming, and when he does, he will burn away those unnecessary, inedible, restricting parts of us and protect and savor the good parts of us." See, God doesn't just send down a spiritual fire. God shows up with that fire and gets to work. Jesus came to remove the limiting parts of us and help us grow. And when we are asked to pick up our crosses and follow Christ, we are called to step into God's spiritual fire. So, what does God's purifying, growth-encouraging, fiery presence feel like? For me, it's usually when I'm alone, just me and God. Maybe I'm in the still, quiet sanctuary praying. Maybe I'm hiking, admiring the feeling of the sun and wind on my face, enjoying being in God's beautiful creation. Maybe I'm listening to or singing a powerful, beautiful song. Wherever I am, I get a little chill down my spine, goosebumps up my arms, and a feeling of peace and love, like a hug. Maybe for you, it's when you see a friend for the first time in a long while, and you both feel that particular joy and love again. Maybe it's when spring comes, the days start to lengthen, the flowers start to bloom, and you feel hope welling up in your soul. Maybe it's when you're doing the thing you love most in the world, and you take a moment to think just how grateful you are. Maybe for you it really is that fire in your bones or a burning in your heart. However God's presence makes itself known to us, the message is the same. God is saying, "Here I am. Listen to my call. Follow me." When we tune into that feeling and listen to God, it can be scary. We don't know what we're getting into, and we don't know if we'll come out the other side as the same person. But friends, that's kind of the point. We have to make a leap of faith. When we follow God's call, God makes us new. As we keep following God, keep stepping into that spiritual fire, we are transformed into new people. We become a little more joyous, a little more kind, a little more faithful, a little more peaceful, a heck of a lot more loving, and so much more. And as God asks us to become a little more like God, the fiery power of the Holy Spirit burns away those ungodly qualities of ours. Our jealousy, our impatience, our hard-heartedness, burnt away little by little. Even though we are scared of being irreparably changed, God's spiritual fire does not harm us. The bones of who we are not warped by the fire within them. Our structure is not changed by God's need for us to grow. Instead, with God's help, we are molding ourselves into better versions of ourselves, versions that can better do God's work and spread God's love. I'm not gonna lie, I am honestly terrified to step into this fire. Y'all, I'm moving to Texas next year. What was I thinking? I mean, I know what I was thinking. I was listening to that feeling in my heart, in my bones, but I'm still scared out of my skin. I'm going to be so far away from the communities that have loved and supported me for so long, including this one. I'll be breaking away. Stepping out into an unknown that's going to change the course of the rest of my life, more than 1,000 miles away from the people I'm closest to. But no matter how scared I am, I know God's got me. I'm actually really excited too, excited to see where God and life will take me next. I'll be listening, paying attention to the burning in my heart, ready to step into the flame when God calls to me. I'm ready to branch out, to burn away those things which are holding me back from growing further, and to come out healthier and more in tune with God than ever before. Amen.
Think about the kindest person you know, the person who is always smiling, holding the door for anyone and everyone, and always has something nice to say. Now, think about if that person has ever done something that has negatively impacted another person. I know many of you may not have been able to think of such a time, but not even those who we think so highly of are perfect. A lot of the time, we are oblivious to how our actions affect those around us. That was the case for the two people walking with Jesus to Emmaus. In Luke 24, verses 25 and 26, Jesus exclaims to the two sulking people, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Why would Jesus have to suffer? The Israelites believed their Savior would come to them as a mighty warrior and physically free them from their harsh conditions. Jesus was supposed to be their Superman, but this so-called Savior had just been tortured, died nailed to a cross, and vanished from his grave. In the Israelites' mind, they still believed they needed saving. They were still living under Roman's control. Was this what being saved looked like? Jesus goes on to explain to the two foolish travelers why their Savior had to endure such agony and what their Savior had actually saved them from. Jesus cited evidence in the scripture to suggest that the Savior would have to suffer as a result of the people's actions. Jesus came to save us. He had to suffer because he had to save the people from all the damage they have caused in the past and all the damages people will cause in the future. The people wanted to be saved, and that is what Jesus did. God saved us from our actions going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Even though their mistake happened many years ago, it permanently changed the course of human life. While we have experienced hardships for their mistake, Jesus died nailed to a cross to save us from the sins of the past, present, and future. The Israelites did not understand that their actions would result in pain and distress, and no one expected their Savior to be the one who would suffer this pain. Jesus was supposed to be the Israelites' superhero. Who is your superhero? As a child, I would have said Wonder Woman. She was a super strong woman who would defeat evil and make the world a better place. She would save the day. Some days, I would dream about Wonder Woman coming to rescue me from the scary vegetables or the embarrassment of my preschool crush not talking to me. Surprisingly, to 6-year-old me, she never came. As the years went by, waiting for my Wonder Woman, I found her. Wonder Woman is my mom, my dad, my teachers, and everyone who has supported me throughout my entire life. For example, my mom has been making my lunch for the past 17 years for daycare and school. She gives up sleep to save me from fighting my way through the deadly cafeteria crowds. Unfortunately, I have been oblivious to how my family has saved me and what they have given up to do so. When I was looking for Wonder Woman to swoop me away from danger, my mom would drop anything to swoop me away from walking into traffic. When I was looking for Wonder Woman to save me from boredom, my dad would leave a party early to take me home so I could watch SpongeBob. When I was looking for Wonder Woman to destroy my homework, my mom was willing to put aside her own work to help me destroy my times tables. When I was looking for Wonder Woman to help me score the game-winning goal, my dad would power through the pain of an old injury to practice with me. When I was looking for Wonder Woman, I was oblivious to how much those who care about me give up to make sure I'm safe, happy, strong, and ready for the world. Even though the two Israelites were unable to see Jesus and all that he had done for them, Jesus stays with them. He walks with them and dines with them until they were able to recognize their Savior. Jesus died to be all of our superheroes. The superhero that may not be recognized at first, but will always swoop in to save the day. God puts these silent superheroes into our lives to protect us. They are the ones who are willing to go unrecognized, but deserve recognition the most. If you have not recognized your superheroes, God will give you another chance to recognize them. Another one of my favorite superheroes, Batman, once said, "It's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me." As we walk forward together, actively search for the people God has placed into your life. I have caused others to suffer. I have been oblivious to how I have taken advantage of those who care about me. Even though I hadn't acknowledged the support I was receiving, I was given a second chance to create a more respectful relationship with my loved ones. I was able to see God playing such an active role in my life. I am still blind to my superheroes, so join me on a journey of breaking bread and allowing our eyes to be opened to those who care about us. Remember, your superhero may not be wearing a cape. Amen.
Good morning. How many of you came here on Lancaster Avenue this morning? I really dislike Lancaster. Don't get me wrong, I love urban planning just as much as the next person, but the traffic on that road is an enigma to me. How could a 2-mile drive to get to Radnor High School from here sometimes take 5 minutes, but another time take upwards of 15. Lancaster at rush hour, forget it. I commend all of you for making it out here through the Sunday morning church traffic. We've probably all sat through some kind of traffic, and if you're like me, it probably makes you never want to drive ever again. And if you're like my family, you may even go as far as to cancel or postpone an outing because of traffic. Our journey in the scripture today begins with Cleopas and his companion, walking in the afternoon back to Emmaus from Jerusalem, shortly after Jesus' crucifixion. The two men were sad and despondent, full of hopelessness and doubt. Jesus had died. On their way to Emmaus, almost ironically, Jesus intercepts the travelers. Christ is with the men, even when they do not realize it. He explains to them all of the prophecies pointing to the fact that he had to die, to try to give them help and clarity and peace of mind as they walk towards Emmaus. They were ignorant to him, because why would they look for him in such a dark time? They did not need a new relationship with him because they thought he was dead, yet he was still with them. Once a contingent arrives in Emmaus, there's a shift in the story. When the travelers invite Jesus to their table and attempt to forge a new relationship with this stranger, his true identity is revealed, and the entire tone of the text changes. At first, the men were slowly lumbering towards Emmaus, but now, as the Spirit of God moves through them, they get up at that instant and run back to Jerusalem to spread the joyous news that their Messiah lives. It's an important distinction to make that the road between Emmaus and Jerusalem is not only a long journey, it can be between 7 and 18 miles, depending on the interpretation, but it's also a dangerous one, and now it's also nighttime. Despite Jesus no longer being physically with the men, the excitement of now having a new relationship with Christ compels them to return to Jerusalem. I'm sure we can all remember a time when we were like Cleopas or his friends, when we were all on our own road to Emmaus, maybe feeling lost or hopeless or even confused. During times like these, faith might not always be at the forefront of our lives. We can often feel alone in the world and sometimes even turn away from faith in these dark places. But we have to remember that much like in the road to Emmaus, Christ is always with us, even when we do not necessarily see it. Although Jesus might not appear in the flesh to us on a day-to-day basis, he still presents himself to form a relationship. I opened my sermon today with my thoughts about Lancaster Avenue, because that's really what set me on my own road to Emmaus. In my own life, not too long ago, I had a stark absence of religion in my life. My mother raised my spirituality over at Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church, about 5 miles down the road, but then we moved across town 7 years ago, and we found it harder and harder to make that early Sunday morning journey down Lancaster Avenue with all the church traffic. As a result of this change, slowly but surely and almost completely, religion exited from my life. I considered myself an agnostic and had no inclination to bring any semblance of Christianity back into my life. For me, this was my walk to Emmaus. Much like the travelers who lost all hope in Jesus because they thought of him crucified, Christ had exited my life. I have a very analytical mind, which is strongly in favor of fact and science, which really made me question the existence of a God, and it made it very difficult to think of having a relationship with Christ. Despite my disbelief during this time, Christ was still very evident in my life. Although I didn't realize it, my family, teachers, neighbors, pets, all embodied little conspicuous God sightings. All of these people tried to keep the love and faith in my life that I was missing without organized religion. Ultimately, it was some of the people who are up here with me today who are my Jesus showing up on my road to Emmaus and having dinner with me. When I tagged along to youth group one Sunday evening, the veil started to be lifted from my eyes, and I slowly began to realize the role that Christ was playing in my life to develop a new relationship with me. Now, the story I just shared may not be completely relatable to many of you. However, I'm sure that there has been a time in your life when you have questioned your faith in one way or another. I think I can confidently say that everyone here wants to change the state of their relationship with God. The road to Emmaus shows us that this is possible. Christ is always ready to have a relationship with us, no matter what state we are in. Jesus was with the men on the road when they thought he was dead, trying to form a relationship with them. Yet at the same time, he was with the men when they were running in the night back to Jerusalem, when they were embracing him. Christ wants to be with you, whether you come to church every Sunday, come on only Christmas and Easter, or if this is your first service. There is no right or wrong relationship with God. It's what feels right to you. So I encourage you to break the bread. Invite Jesus into your life in a way which makes you feel comfortable. Do not be afraid to change your relationship with Christ, because he is willing to have a relationship with you, whether you are walking to Emmaus or running back to Jerusalem.